Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today, for staying with me. If you've already been listening, you just tuned in, welcome aboard. John Dini is our guest, and he's our good friend. John is the author of 11 Things You Absolutely Need to Know About Selling Your Business. He's the president of Management Performance Network. He is also the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring, and he's part of the TAB Boards organization. He's our good friend, John Dini. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And how are things with the TAB Boards? What have you guys been working on lately?
Well, we've been working on a lot of accountability stuff for our business owners that we work with. I just got back in February from the National TAB Facilitator Conference, and I tell you, you know, you've seen it. An organization starts, and you think you have a good idea, and you're excited about the concept. And 9 years ago, I think there were 12 or 13 of us in Denver, and this time there were 130 or 140 of us in Denver. We're finally developing some web-based tools and for assessing your business. And just a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with the board concept that really kind of fits around it. So it's pretty exciting. We're doing real well.
Well, congratulations. And folks, if you are not familiar with how the TAB Boards work, and you know what John does is he forms groups of small business owners who get together and become each other's board of directors. What do you get, 8 or 10 together?
Yes, we don't do more than 10. A few areas of the country do as many as 12, but 8 to 10 is the normal TAB.
8 to 10, then you put a facilitator with them, and once a month they get together for a day, don't they? Basically a whole day.
Yeah, well, we go 8 till noon for the meeting, and then we go out to lunch and talk about things. But, it's practical. It's focused on the issues that are going on day to day in your company. And you find with, well, our typical board has about 200 years of running a business sitting around the table, and surprisingly enough, you find that the problems and issues you run into, you're not the first one ever to see those.
That may be the most important thing of getting together with a group like that, whether it's the TAB Boards or any other group of an ad hoc mastermind group or whatever you want to call it. That may be, in my opinion, John, the most benefit, or at least certainly the low hanging fruit that you'll get from getting together with a group of people like that and being honest about what you're experiencing, what you're seeing, what's happening in your business, is that you find out that where you thought before you walked into that meeting, you thought you're the only dummy who had that kind of a problem, you find out that not only are you not a dummy, you're not the only one.
You know, it's funny you say that, because that's so right on target. The most common comment, and I would say somewhere around three-quarters of our members after their first meeting, and you say, what did you get out of this first meeting? And they said, I thought it was just me.
Yeah. and John, they were afraid up until that point. They were reticent to talk about it because they felt that since it's only just me, I'm the only one having this problem, that must mean that I'm not very smart, and I don't want other people to know I'm not very smart. Because they'll think I'm uncompetitive. That's the big lie that we tell ourselves, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't know if we tell ourselves that that we're not smart.
Well,
I think we all tell ourselves that all the time.
No, but I mean that we tell ourselves that it's the big lie that we make ourselves believe so that we, and it prevents us from asking questions. It prevents us from growing. It holds us back.
Well, and we're so afraid in front of our customers or our vendors or our employees to look that way.
That's right.
And those are the people you interact with all day long in business.
Right. And you know, I remember the first time that I had a conversation like that with somebody that I admired and looked up to and thought they really had their cornflakes together. And I found out that, you know, that person had some doubts too. And I realized, you know what, it's not, as you said a minute ago, it's not just me.
Yeah, we had an interesting experience a couple of weeks ago. We run an unusual tab board down here. Most of our folks are.
I wouldn't expect it to be any other way with you, John.
Of course, we have a group that's fairly large for tab. You know, the median is about $70 or $80 million in that group.
Right.
And we went around the group. They got into a discussion about why they joined tab in the first place. And to my surprise, two of the guys said that they were working with a large national publicly traded company, and they were told you'd better go find a peer group or a board.
I'll be darned. How about that? Stand by, John. Quick break. We're going to come right back. When we do, we're going to get into training your people on customer service. Very important topic that John has been working on with his groups. 20 Tales. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend John Deeney. My website, by the way, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out and take advantage of it. You can go back and listen to, find John Deeney, that's D-I-N-I, how you spell his last name. Go back and find his position in our Brain Trust, which you can do easily this week by clicking on the schedule page or the blog. His link to the Brain Trust section is right there by his name. And go back and listen to some of the information that John has deposited with us over the years. You can go back and listen to all the archives, dozens of interviews we've had with John, and lots of other things that he makes available to us on our website. And John, for your contribution to what we do, we appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jim. It's you know, folks like us, I call myself a business geek. I as a little kid, my favorite bedtime story started out, you know, John McDonald sat in his corner office gazing out the window.
That's funny. John, one of the things that you, and by the way, I can identify, one of the things,
I thought so.
One of the things that, I'm the kid that got his mother's needles. And he saw the guy selling needles door to door when he was a kid. And he thought that was a pretty cool thing. I got my mother's needles and tried to sell them door to door. My teenage sister was mortified. I thought it was just commerce. I didn't know there was anything wrong with that.
Right.
Anyway, and it's been like that ever since, folks. John, customer service has been on the minds of your members lately. What have they been talking about?
Yeah, it's a great topic, and we're always talking about how, you know, and all of us that own businesses have some version of why can't they think like us that about our employees that we talk about daily.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start it out, tell you a funny story. I had occasion to call a company the other day. It's a $60 million company, and I know the CEO, but only by telephone, only slightly. I've talked to him once or twice. And I called, and the phone rang, and on the fourth ring, a guy picked it up. And usually the receptionist there is a woman. And he said, and it was like not handled professionally. It was like, hello, hello. And then he said the company's name. You know, and I asked for him. I asked for the CEO by name, and he said, yeah, that's me. This is a $60 million company with 300 employees. And I
not
said,
only
I
is said, the answer is on phone, he's doing it badly.
Right. I said, Terry, what do you do at picking up the phone? He said, well, you know, on the fourth ring, I couldn't stand it anymore. And we all have that in us. All of us that have to service customers have that. We all have that reflexive grab for the phone when it rings the third or fourth time and somebody hasn't gotten it because the customers are so important to us. And we're trying to communicate to our employees, you know, why don't you understand that? Why isn't the customer as important to you? You know, why are you treating the customer like it was a pain?
Years ago, when I was a full-time consultant, I was in the middle of the building of one of my newest prospects, one of my newest clients, and we're talking. He was going over some things with me, and all of a sudden he just bolts and runs completely across the building. And I couldn't figure out what it was. Is it a fire drill? What's going on here? And it was what you just said. The phone had not been answered, and he was bolting for the phone.
Yeah.
You know, the owner and founder of this company. It was about to ring for the fourth time, and he couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any employees bolting for the phone, and that was the problem.
And how do you get them to do that? How do you get them to become so inculcated with customer service that they understand that this is the life's blood? This is what puts the bread on their table every single day. And we got into this discussion, and we realized that there's actually two components to it. And so often we do one or the other, but we don't do both.
Well, one of the things that one little mechanical thing besides the training, which you're going to talk to us about in a second, that I said recently is whenever an employee comes to work for you and they get their first check, you know, just have a little quiz with them, say to them, do you know where this money came from? And they'd say, well, yeah, it came from you, or it came from your checking account. And then you say, no, you see those people out there? Those people paid your check. Don't ever forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever forget that. But that's somewhat oversimplified. It works a little bit, but it doesn't always work. You have to keep reinforcing it to make sure they do it for the right reasons, which is good customer service training.
Well, it's training, and the training part of it has two components. And this was, you know, for all the years I've been in business, just getting it this simple was one of those kind of revelations for me. There's how and there's why.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we focus on how. We focus on, you know, the customer shall be greeted. You'll say the following words when you pick up the telephone. The telephone will be picked up by the third ring. You know, you will take three steps towards the door when the customer walks into your retail establishment, extend your right hand and say, good morning, I'm Bob. How may I help you today? You know, and we can do this process and procedure thing and need to. But the other half of it is why. It's your core values. What is your company about? Why are you there? And a lot of times we feel we don't need to talk to the employees about that. They understand it. Well, hell, they see me jump for the phone on the third ring. We think
since that is intuitive, and basically a nuclear part of us, we think that because they work with us, they must get it too.
Yes.
And we take that for granted. And when we come back after these messages, you're going to help us understand how to get the how into the spirit of our employees so we can convert that and deliver it to the customers and get them to keep coming back. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. John Deeney is our guest.
That's right.
Do it no matter what the people say.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. John Deeney is our guest. John, give us your website, please, and tell us how we can go take a look at the number one tab boards organization in the galaxy. Go ahead.
In the galaxy. We are at MPN, that's for Management Performance Networks Incorporated, MPNINC.com, or you can go directly into our pages about our tab board operations at TabSanAntonio.com.
And that's the alternative board. That's what TAB stands for, the
Correct.
Alternative board. And that's based out of Denver, which we have actually a handful of stations all over the state of Colorado that broadcast our show. So you got a lot of tab board folks there in the Colorado area listening. But you're in San Antonio. You've got the number one tab boards organization in the world. And I congratulate you on that. So folks, check that out. Can they find, if they go to tabboards.com, can they find a geographical listing of where other boards are?
Sure. A clickable map. It'll tell you what facilitators are operating in your state. And on the odd chance that there might not be one in your city, they're always soliciting for new facilitators.
Tell you how you can find one. All right, so
sure.
check that out, folks. John, how we talked about how, but why? That's what we're working on right now, right? How? Why we?
Yeah, the why. The core
why?
Values.
Why do we want? Why do we? how do we get, we've already talked about how to get the training, this customer service training to our employees. Now we want the why. Tell us about that.
Well, the why is, you know, the core values don't change. You'll hear a lot of people argue back and forth between mission and vision. You know, should they change? Should they remain immutable over the years? And, you know, I could go either way. And some people say a mission is a vision. Some people say a vision is a mission. But your core values don't change. Your core values of your company should be something that you can chisel into concrete and hang up on the wall.
Which Sears did years ago, over every door it said, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a core value of Sears in those days.
The Nordstrom's two rules are a terrific example. Mm-hmm. You know, rule one is the customer is always right. Rule two, if the customer isn't right, refer to rule one.
Right, exactly.
You need to talk to your employees about things like integrity and honesty and fair dealing with your customers. And they need to understand that's part of their job and part of what makes you a successful business. It doesn't happen by coincidence. You don't want to see them, you know, if you accidentally short the customer 57 cents on the change and the customer walks out because she's in a hurry, you run out in the parking lot and mm-hmm. give it back. We don't just say, hey, the company made an extra 57 cents today.
Right, right. Well, and those are things that the employees need to believe that that's a corporate core value. These are your core values, and not only that that's what they are, but that you expect them to assume those values.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you should write them down and put them on the wall. My ideal set of core values should be clear enough that you can go to an employee and say, if you are ever unsure how to act in any situation, read that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, and I want you to understand that your long-term success with this company, your ability to grow and to prosper yourself in your assignment depends on your ability to convey these values, not because I tell you to, but because you know it's the right thing to do.
Clearly they had. And you know what? A lot of us in small business are the first job, the training job, the introduction to the workforce. What better service can we render to these people than to put them in an environment like that, make them understand at the beginning of their work lives,
mm-hmm.
that it's okay to talk about these things.
But, you know, John, we've gone a lot of years now, I'm afraid, without having that kind of training, because there's an awful lot of people out there who still don't get it.
Well, it's up to each one of them. I know if you, I was going to mention a few establishments, but I won't.
Well, I've actually, you know, as you know, John, I actually take it upon myself to train them when I'm a consumer and they don't mm-hmm. behave right. One of these days I'm probably going to get arrested or something. I don't know. Hey, John, give us that website again, please.
MPNinc.com or TabSanAntonio.com.
Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Yes. John Deeney, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Always has great stuff for us. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one. And be sure, ladies and gentlemen, take today and think about your own core values. How do you feel about your core values toward your customers? And then make sure your employees know what those are. I'll take a quick break. I'll be back on the other side of the news with Joan Pride. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.